Hey, everyone. Welcome to Locked On Lakers for Monday. Brian Kamenetsky, Andy Kamenetsky. The Lakers have a win, 121-110 over the Nuggets Sunday evening. And Russell Westbrook hears it from the crowd in a good way. That's next.
You are Locked On Lakers. Your daily Los Angeles Lakers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Thanks to everybody for making Locked On Lakers first listen of every day, Monday through Friday, no matter how or where you get your podcasts, always free, never behind a paywall. Make Locked On Lakers, make another Locked On podcast, I should say. Excuse me, your second listen of every day. I've got a thing in the back of my throat that is
just You want to take a second?
No, I mean, it's not going to get better. It is what it is. My throat is like Anthony Davis's back. It just is. And it's not going to get better. We just need to keep fighting through it. That's what AD did on Sunday. That's what I'm going to do. I am going to fight through it while letting you know that today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, where the game starts. 121-110, the Lakers have a win, Andy. And the crowd was excited to see Russell Westbrook play as opposed to seeing him sent to the bench. Big moments throughout the game between Russ and the Crypto.com Arena crowd. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about that because it was a huge portion of today's game. But it is worth noting before we get to Westbrook specifically, how much was different about Sunday night and why the Lakers were actually able to get their first win of the season.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When I did our video, the Locked On Now video that are part of Locked On, the network's game-to-game videos, which you guys should all definitely be checking out. They're a really good breakdown of every night's action in the NBA. I noted how this felt like the idealized version of the Lakers. You had five players in double digits, active defense throughout the game, low turnovers. They won the paint battle. They won the rebound battle. You had Anthony Davis laying the foundation. 9 of his 23 points were in the first 5 minutes. LeBron helped secure the win in the second half. Very strong third quarter. He played a big role in creating that separation. Russell Westbrook, as you noted, sensational off the bench. And then you get to the 43%, not a typo, verbal, 43% from deep, which is like a luxury. And, you know, it's not realistic for the entire season. But if they can split the difference to, say, 34 from like the 20-ish percent they'd been doing.
Right, 34, up to this point, by the way, is not great. But
no, it's not great, but it's competent. Doable. It's yes. Doable. It's competent. The other things that I mentioned in there, I think you could do 75% of them on a regular basis. And 75% of everything on that list combined with 30-ish percent from three. We're going to get into a lot of the specifics of how they won this game, but just that would be a completely different team. And we've talked about that a lot over the course of this short season, leading up to where they are now. If they just make shots, they are a dramatically different team. They have not been as awful as their record would indicate. They just hadn't.
Well, they have not been as awful defensively as their record would indicate. They have been as awful as their record would indicate offensively. And it was interesting to listen. I was listening to a lot of the radio feed, excuse me, on Sunday. And they were making a big deal out of, in the first half, how it was great that they weren't shooting a lot of threes. Very close to the end of the, I forget exactly the number they had at halftime. But it was around 10. They really hadn't taken very many. And the efficiency was pretty good, but they weren't taking any. And that's good in some ways because the percentages were so bad. But the thing about it is, it's not sustainable in today's NBA. You know, when we saw it in the third quarter, when Denver goes on that run, where I think they hit 8 of their first 11 three-pointers in the third quarter. And got out to the lead. The Lakers admirably fought back, in part by being able to knock down some threes themselves. you just can't trade two-pointers for three-pointers in this league. If you're going to be a team that doesn't shoot a lot of threes, you have to get to the line a ton, which the Lakers don't do. And you have to be incredibly efficient from two, which the Lakers aren't or haven't been to this point. I agree with you. 32, 33, whatever, 35, 34. Just not 20. And it makes such a profound difference in their ability to score. We saw in the second half when they were able to knock down a couple threes and Matt Ryan came in and hit some and, you know, LeBron knocked down some and all that. It cannot be overstated how big of a deal that becomes. And so, I mean, for me, that was the baseline. And, you know, you mentioned all the other players contributing. To me, it started with they made some shots and the whole attitude lift goes up.
Yeah, I mean, you're correct when you said earlier their offense has been abysmal. But to me, what made it so they weren't necessarily an awful team in the process was you could see themselves, you could see them manufacturing good shots. Like they were actually giving themselves good looks. So
yeah, I agree.
On one hand, it is reprehensible to see a bunch of professional basketball players that incapable of hitting wide open shots, you know, even acknowledging that we had not, you know, we didn't have the highest hopes for this team as an outside shooting group heading into the season. They should be better than that, but they would have looked really hopeless if you were watching them going, okay, not only are they missing every shot from outside, you're watching this offense going, I don't know what the hell they're even doing, which was often the case last season.
Yeah,
this season they had looked more functional in terms of what they were trying to do offensively. They just were staggeringly incapable of hitting anything. So that's where I had, you know, I'm not going to say that I was incredibly optimistic about, you know, what things would look like at the end of the season in terms of the record or whatever. But there were times when I'm watching them going like, for example, the loss to Minnesota, I noted that this was the most legitimate that they had looked. And I felt like they were taking incremental steps towards the legitimacy we saw against Denver, but just flat out looking good. They played a really good game against Denver. They looked like a really good team against Denver.
For example, we were texting during the game, like, Lonnie Walker has scored points, but hasn't been efficient, hasn't been nearly as well-rounded as he was in the preseason. It's not, I think, an accident that, you know, he had his most well-rounded game, not only in a game there, he hit 3 of 5 threes and, you know, was able to open it up outside, but the whole team did. And he was able to contribute with a couple assists and he had a couple block shots and, excuse me, all this stuff opens up.
Jesus, get it together, man.
It's just like this tickle thing. And it's been bugging me and I can't talk, which is probably welcome for many people who listen to the show. They get to a place where, excuse me, like there's,
oh my God, come on.
At least I'm not eating. Like, that's even worse. Like, eating during the podcast is very unprofessional. You got to cough. The energy level when you can't score and when the losses are piling up. Like, AD called this a must win. And it sounds stupid to call the sixth game of the season a must win. But he was right.
It does not sound stupid at all contextually.
He was exactly right. Like, the longer you go doing this, the tighter you, like, I was, Denver got to within, I think it was 9 in the fourth quarter. And I was like, if they hit a three here, Porter Jr. I was like, this is going to get real tight. And I could see the Lakers offense starting to stagnate. They made a shot. They got the ball inside. I think AD had a put back, but like they figured out a way to get a couple buckets. I was terrified about what was going to happen if Denver closed that gap to within 4 or 5. Like, could the offense function? We didn't have to find out, in part because guys, you know, LeBron went inside and then out. And they had confidence in what they were doing and managed to continue playing good defense down the stretch.
Yeah. I mean, this was, you know, you mentioned Lonnie Walker. This was not just a great game for him in terms of efficiency. This was the best complete game he had so far this season. Like, he had a few really big moments defensively. He had two blocks. One was an incredible weak side block near the end of the first half. He had a really good challenge against Aaron Gordon under the basket, where he's obviously giving up a lot of size. And the reason I bring that up is just because this felt to me like the most complete game you saw from a lot of guys who were out there over the course of this game. I thought this was just a really, really strong effort from these guys. Maybe recognizing, like, look, like AD said, it's must win. If we don't get our proverbial bleep together tonight, like right now.
You can't operate this way. You can't keep going. Like, the schedule does not get any easier. And so, yeah, let's talk about that, because this was the second game that Westbrook played off the bench. First at home. And he was significantly more efficient. He had a lot of the same energy Friday in Minnesota, but he was not as effective. He had that same energy and a same sense of attacking and speed as he did in Minnesota, but with much, much better results on Sunday. So we'll talk about what Westbrook did. You talk about buy-in and how significant this could be. And then really how the fans reacted, which was the story of the night in a lot of ways for me. So that's next.
Hey, Locked On Lakers listeners, make sure you are checking out betonline.net, your number one source for all your pro and college football betting needs and sports info this season. You can find all the latest football league developments, game matchups, news, and podcasts. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. The fastest, easiest way to check in on all your sports betting needs and for events, including MLB, MMA, boxing and golf, but of course, the NBA. And guess what? I mean, you want to hear about some disrespect. The Lakers, they are currently 50-1 to win the title. 50-1. They fell from 20-1 before the season opener, but that was before they got on a one-game winning streak. And it could be the first of 77 straight. And if you think that's the case, now is the time to get those odds. For that matter, 28-1 of winning the West. They win 77 straight. That could feel like a very low number to lay down those odds. So head to the website today. Use your mobile device. Learn more about the trends in action. Bet online where the game starts.
Oh, big new line from Bet Online as to whether or not I can get through the next two segments without dying. So
take the under.
Probably. So the Lakers managed to win a game, and there was energy and there was happiness and there was excitement. It is worth noting, this is Darvin Ham's first win as a head coach. Took a little while for the Lakers to give it to him, but I don't want to be, I'm not going to be Pollyanna-ish and just say, like, this is the beginning, like, here it comes. Like, no, it's still gonna be very difficult. The problems that they had coming into Sunday's game are similar to the problems that they have coming out of Sunday's game. But Sunday it worked. And one of the things that I do think is significant, and it was the topic of conversation broadly after the game, for people who are currently worried about the idea of whether or not Russell Westbrook would just dismiss the notion of coming off the bench out of hand, not doing it, gonna flash attitude, gonna do whatever. Two games in, that's not a concern. I'm not saying it's going to work, Andy. I'm not going to say it's going to work every night as well as it did Sunday. But in terms of buy-in, and at least giving it the old college try, Russ is on board.
Yeah. I mean, and here's the thing, and I recognize with Russ, it's always complicated. He does not do himself a lot of favors in terms of going out of his way to engender goodwill. Like, that's just not how Russell Westbrook operates. Like, for better or for worse, however you feel about it, it just isn't who he is. But he has said ever since the offseason, you know, officially began with media day, whatever, I will do whatever is asked. Doing whatever is asked does not necessarily mean liking everything that is asked. But doing everything that is asked of you is also not necessarily the same thing as buying in. And we saw last year, like, Russell Westbrook in his version of events, did everything that Frank Vogel asked of him. And whether you think that's actually accurate or not, somewhere in between, whatever, what you could see was he had not bought in at all. Like Westbrook, it was very obvious, had not bought into the things that Vogel was asking of him. You know, I remember specifically asking him at his exit interview, you know, did you just do these things or did you actually wrap your arms around it? And in Russ's mind, he wrapped his arms around it, but it just did not feel that way at all. So far, it feels like he is wrapping his arms around the idea of coming off the bench, even though clearly, I think even two games in, hearing him talk afterwards, it's not his preference. I don't know if he still believes that it's necessary, but it doesn't matter. As long as he Correct. Goes at it wholeheartedly and does the things that is asked of him and plays as if he's in his preferred role, I don't care whether or not he agrees with it. It doesn't matter. What Wait, matters it's is also what he
worth,
does.
Yeah, it's also worth noting. He played 32 minutes, and he played starters minutes in Minnesota.
And closed the game in both nights.
Correct. And I think that's, you know, there are a lot of nuances here. And you know, Russ said it himself, you know, winning, when you win, everybody feels good about their contract. Everybody, let's say they lose 5 of 7 with Russ on the bench at some point this season and things, and he's not playing well, the team's not playing, or he's playing well off the bench and other people aren't, they're still losing. Whatever the formula might be, it could change. But right now, he's doing what, and so much about this is context. This aspect of buy-in, but like you say, it doesn't matter. And if he's doing what he is asked and he performs, then everybody wins, including Westbrook and including the team more often than they have, because this is the team they have right now. And I don't see the pressure on, let's say the Lakers open up and say, okay, fine, we'll give you exactly what you want for Buddy Hield and Miles Turner. You can have both draft picks and you can have, you know, whatever it is. I'm still not positive Indiana doesn't go like, well, yeah, we're a week into this and we can have, at this point, we can wait to see what else comes up with Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. Like they don't have to be in a big rush. So, this is what the Lakers have to work with. And for it to get as high as it can be, whatever that number is, Russell Westbrook has to be productive. And what we saw on Sunday, I think, was the best case scenario for what a productive Russell Westbrook looks like.
Well, in particular, one thing that really stood out to me during Russ's minutes off the bench and how important they were is there were a few instances in this game where they made runs with LeBron sitting. It was Russ and AD playing together with, you know, Troy Brown, Austin Reeves, Patrick Beverley, whoever, Lonnie Walker, but LeBron sitting. And, you know, LeBron did not play a good first half. He was really good in the second half. He was terrific. But the first half, he was struggling to finish some shots.
Yeah,
he's not looking great. But there was a lot of lift that came with Russell Westbrook leading that second unit and really having more space to operate, you know, within his skill set, within his comfort zone. And I think those moments of finding the flow make it easier for him when he eventually does play with LeBron. Because if he's going to close out halves, if he's going to close out games, by definition, that means he's going to be playing with LeBron. But if he's playing well, there's no reason for him not to close games. Because if Russell Westbrook is playing well, I guarantee he is one of the 5 best players the Lakers have, period, full stop. And, you know, like the game against Portland that Russ closed, I believe it was Portland, that was, you know, the big controversy with him getting put back into the game. The issue wasn't so much that Russ closed. It was Russ got put back into a game where he had been making awful decisions and there was no reason to put him back in. He had not really earned the right in that game to close. But if Russ is playing well, all things being equal, you likely want him to close because, again, he's going to be one of the best players you have.
He earned,
I'm sure Darvin talked with him about the idea of, you know, closing games in exchange for coming off the bench.
Well, I don't know. I actually don't know.
Or at least being a possibility. Like that, this will right. still that, be possible.
I will say,
for you.
I think he has talked to him about, oh, you know, it is more important to close games than start them. And I am open to having you. I doubt he promised him, look,
oh,
I'll,
sure.
I'll have you. But yes.
I don't mean promise. I agree with you. I don't
right,
mean
I do think
promise.
He laid that out for him. Let's talk about the fan reception because that was a moment 5 minutes, I think it was 5 minutes left in the game, where fans cheered when Russell Westbrook re-entered the game. That hasn't happened ever as far as I can tell since Westbrook came to town. So we'll do that next. All right. It has been a change. I'm not saying he doesn't bear some responsibility here, mostly because of the performance. But the team has just tanked tremendously since he arrived. Everything has gone wrong since Westbrook arrived, and he is the focus of a lot of the anger that fans feel. It was evident on Sunday how quickly some of those things can turn around. Not all of them, but some of it can turn around. If he plays well, I think fans appreciate Russell Westbrook's coming off the bench. Like, look, here's a thing that Russ is doing that he hates, but he's doing it because it helps the team. Like, a few games of this, and the Lakers are home predominantly for the next, you know, couple weeks. A few more games of this, and if he plays well, it really could help change just the atmosphere around the team and fans and Westbrook, and that could have a pretty profound impact on how well they can play.
Well, okay, this is something I've said many times over the course of covering the Lakers. Laker fans are exceptionally entitled. They are exceptionally spoiled, you know, with very good reason. But they are also a really smart fan base. Like, this is a fan base that I think nationally does not get the credit for being as knowledgeable, not just about the game, but like what goes on in the season and the stories of that season. And I agree with you. I think they recognize what is happening with Russ in those moments when he's coming off the bench. And, you know, just the idea of this is a dude that is, he's not just sacrificing stats or whatever, like he's sacrificing pride. And I think that they recognize that and understand it. And it's funny when you talked about like the crowd cheering him coming back in 5 minutes, you know, 5 minutes left in the game, before that had even happened, there were moments where Russ was like straight up hyping the crowd. Like he was going into like Russell Crowe Gladiator.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
Are you not entertained? Like that was something you could not even wrap your head around, the idea of Russell Westbrook fan favorite in LA. Like that was incomprehensible.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could have at the beginning of it before anybody started playing some games,
but I
understand what you're getting at because the trade was so unpopular to begin with, but had he played better, it would have made a bigger difference.
Right, but he was dealing with a lot of resentment for
there's no
this,
question
just from the outset.
There's no question. And again, this isn't everything's fixed now. But I think more than even Laker fans are smart, which they are, by the way, entitled, which really honestly is like half the fun of being a Lakers fan. It's just being super entitled because you know your team has won so much and you get to lord that over every other franchise. It's great. But I think more than that, Andy, nobody shows up to a Laker game wanting to dislike the product on the floor, wanting to dislike the players that are wearing their jersey. And if you give, like, the tickets are really expensive. Like, for a lot of families, like, this is a major investment. You're going, you want to have fun, you want to be excited, you want to cheer for. And, you know, Russell Westbrook's from LA, he's not an axe murderer. There are a lot of reasons to get behind Westbrook and appreciate the good play. The biggest one being if Westbrook plays well, the team might win. And so I think more than anything, fans are looking for any kind of positivity and are willing to get behind it with Westbrook, because ultimately, as fans, that's what you want. You want a reason to be happy and to cheer for your team. And it has been so miserable for the last 18 months, or you know, whatever the math is, last year, that I think this was like an uncorking almost of I mean, go back to the day Kobe, you know, the trade demands and all that kind of stuff, you know, play on Pluto and all that. He got booed on, in the opening introductions.
Yes, he did.
At the home opener.
Yeah.
That lasted like two quarters by the end of the game.
No, he won him over by the end.
Right. You know, I mean, he managed to win back the crowd. But it's like fans want to be positive. You know, people make the oh, you guys love it when the team sucks. No, we do five and a half shows a week. I'd much rather talk about a team that's doing well, that isn't filled with stupid drama from the front office. And, you know, I don't really want to spend my time talking about Linda Rambis. Like, I'd rather talk about the, you know, whether or not the Lakers can make their way to a first round home court advantage. Like, nobody wants to talk about a bad team. And so these moments of optimism, these moments where fans see something from Westbrook that they can latch on to, my hope is A, he continues to play well, because this doesn't matter if he doesn't play well. B, that somehow the team has found a little bit of something that evens them out over the next 10 games. So where are they going to go, 7-2, 7-3? No, probably not. Can they go 5-5? Maybe. And that would start to look better. But it was fun for a night. I mean, yeah. If at the least, it was fun for a night, because
yeah, I mean,
I felt some degree of empathy for Westbrook at different times in this process.
Yeah, and look, I thought the bench in the loss against Minnesota actually looked certainly the best it has played. It was the best it has played. The Lakers bench had been just absolutely dreadful in terms of production, in terms of dynamic play. And
yeah, I thought Reeves, for example, had like the most Austin Reevesy kind of game that he's had all year Friday against Minnesota, followed it up Sunday against Denver.
Right. But I was saying, I think that really began with Russ's first game off the bench in Minnesota. But like a couple things. First of all, something I when we did our bold predictions, I had noted that, you know, one of my predictions was if Russell Westbrook plays the majority of games off the bench, and the Lakers are a significant team and they are winning at least a requisite amount of games, Russell Westbrook will finish top five for Sixth Man of the Year. And do not underestimate the power of that type of narrative, like the power of that type of positive story for everybody with the Lakers, including Russ, because as much as he may present that he doesn't care about this stuff, and you know, he says that, you know, he doesn't let anybody steal his joy, and that like he doesn't let anybody really impact him beyond his circle, and I'm sure that is true to some degree.
His joy has been stolen.
He will be happy with that type of recognition, because he's a human being, and human beings are happy when they are appreciated. But also, too, is interesting. I remember last week we talked about, this was before the first game that Westbrook was going to play off the bench against Denver, actually, and he ended up re-aggravating that hamstring, didn't play, ended up coming off the bench the next game. Before that, we had talked about how if this was something Darvin Ham was going to do, like he this was where he wanted to go, just do it. Because for better or for worse, in terms of Russ's reaction, you know, and like everything that comes with it, whatever, you might as well just get this done now, because then the team can move forward. But what I hadn't thought about as much was also just the idea of Russ anticipating that this was going to happen, and that anticipation weighing on him with the idea of like, okay, when am I finally going to be playing off the bench? Like, how am I going to react to it? Like, what's the game going to be like for me? Because this is something drastically different for a guy that has spent like the overwhelming majority of 14 years in the league, starting, not just starting games, but having a lot centered around him. And I think a lot of people have been guilty of just underestimating how drastic of a change that was going to be on him. Even if you think that Russell Westbrook is petulant and stubborn and whatever, it's still a big change. The Band-Aid being ripped off for him as well as just the team, I think is really significant.
So there was a lot, hopefully the Lakers can build off of. If nothing else, they've proven to themselves they can do better than 20% from three-point range. They've proven they can win a game. The rotation is evolving a little bit. Saw a lot less Pat Beverly on Sunday. You saw Matt Ryan play a little bit. You saw, you know, basically the Lakers.
Kendrick Nunn played 3 minutes.
3 minutes. The Lakers played essentially a seven. This is how you know it was a must-win game in the mind of Darvin Ham. Played essentially a 7.5-man rotation.
Damian Jones got 2 minutes and managed to be minus six in those 2 minutes, which is
terrible.
Damn impressive.
Oh my God. I have whiffed on the center thing. Thomas Bryant at least is preserving his potential by being hurt. So we'll get into more of that on for Tuesday.
Just wanted to make sure fans knew that before the game tonight, the Lakers retired the jersey of George Mikan, the great Laker from the Minneapolis days. His number 99 is up in the rafters. It always felt kind of weird that Mikan's jersey wasn't included with him, just because he is, I know it's Minnesota, it's a totally different time, but he is considered a Laker legend. I always thought it was kind of strange that he wasn't up there. So his number went up there. Pau Gasol, I think, attended the game specifically to see that.
Yeah, he was there.
He got interviewed by our buddy Mike Trudell during the game, but very cool for the Mikan family. And again, somebody who is a big part of Laker history.
All right. So Locked On Lakers on YouTube is where you go to see the show. And you generally get a little bit earlier than the straight audio product. Lakers are not going to practice on Monday. So they've apparently mastered it all. They're good enough. But Anthony Davis, we didn't really talk about the back. That's something that we'll get into a lot, I would think, on Tuesday, because he is in a fair amount of pain. It is obvious, as you saw, particularly in the second half of Sunday's game. So a lot to talk about there. We'll see where it goes. They are off the schneid, as they say. Lakers are now 1-5. The season started Sunday. They are undefeated. We'll see everybody on Tuesday.